Carol's heading off now to meet a Waikato share milker who's getting used to doing a bit of public speaking.
It's just the last one, but there is Kaz circling around behind you.
Cool.
So we're moving from this farm on the 31st of May. We've already moved house. We've been lucky enough to purchase our own farm in Manamana, and that's a dry stock farm. A 70-hectare grazing property with our own house on it, so it's nice to have our own abode that's not owned by anybody else.
So you're no longer going to be dairy farming?
Well, my title might not say so, but I'm going to be a operations manager on two dairy farms whilst looking after the dry stock property as well.
So these are your cows?
Yep, these are my babies. We've had them for 7 years, so most of them we helped birth and then reared for the last 7 years, so it's a bit emotional seeing them go, but I know where they're going, and I know they're going to a good home.
How many cows are you saying goodbye to?
There's 180 leaving on the 31st of May, so we're just doing a bit of a tidy up. Anything that needs a little bit more weight before they leave are getting drafted off, and they're going to get a little bit more TLC.
Do you know how to be a dry stock farmer?
I've dabbled with it before, but I don't know if I can be able to sit still during July and August. That's my issue. It's always been the hectic time, so I might have to just run up a few more hills or get up early and read the paper just to feel like I'm still part of it. Cool. If you want to just hop out of it. Farming since I started 21 years ago has gone from a practical hands-on job to it's now split 50-50, where it's practical plus the paperwork and the electronic side where you have to keep everything up to date. So now we keep records of where we apply our effluent, cow movements, treatments, accidents, registers, where and what we were putting on the pasture for fertilizer, and also what feeds we supplement. It's a matter of just learning the new processes and how it affected them into the business.
Looking at your record-keeping system here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's still a good old pen on the back of the hand, but the iPhone and the whiteboard in the shed provide great backup. I just need some sugar to get me going.
A Coke.
Sorry.
21 years, you said you've been farming.
21 years. So I emigrated from the UK in 1997 with my family and went to college at Hauraki Plains College, just out of Ngātia there. Farming wasn't my first choice. My first love has always been sport, and it still is. I play golf badly and still try and run out now and again and play soccer and also coach my children's soccer team. So giving back to the community by doing things like training children or speaking to young farmers is just as rewarding as completing a good day's work or playing sport myself.
I've noticed that you have been doing a circuit, really. You've been talking to lots of young farmers groups, and you generally talk to them about mental health.
Yeah, that's right. I've had my struggles in the past, and it's still at the forefront of my mind when I'm doing anything is my mental health. I've been through probably a couple of decent bouts of depression and some sideline anxiety problems. But I find that in the farming sector, like I was saying before, there's more and more pressure on compliance and everything, all your ducks in a row. And so it can come to a fore where the pressure can become too much, or you haven't vented your pressure or put the tools in place to handle that pressure. One thing I'm always really passionate about is farmers are really great at handling practical problems. We're really good at looking at a broken post or drafting cows like we were this morning. But when we have the mental pressure come on, we find it hard to express how we feel. Now, one thing I've learnt in the past is turning the things in my head into practical is just writing a list. And they become practical problems when you can see them in front of you on a piece of paper or on a spreadsheet or on a computer, whatever you want to do, or even just voicing them with another person. I also think diet is really important, looking after yourself, not so much eating celery and three square meals of tofu, but I feel a bit condescending here because I'm currently sipping on a can of Coke to keep the energy levels up this morning. But I had a good eggs on toast this morning with a cup of tea with my children before they went to school. I make sure I take a rest period at lunchtime and have another square meal, and then when we get home from football tonight, I know there's steak and potatoes ready to go. So just keeping that fuel level up and also keeping your sleep patterns up. As farmers, we are shockers at working long nights to get the fertilizer on or getting up early just to meet the truck or whatever. So trying to get 6 or 7 hours is key to keeping a fresh mind and a good mental state, I find.
If you're writing a list, there's probably going to be a lot of things on it because there's always something to do on a farm. Does it sometimes make you feel, if you haven't crossed off enough, that you're just not on top of things?
Yeah, it can. But if you can tick off everything on your list each day, you're either burning the candle at both ends or you're heading for a crash. Now, we kind of have a policy that if we can feed everything properly each day, including ourselves, we can milk the cows, and we can all get home safely. That's the basis to a good day, and anything on top of that is a bonus.
When you speak to young farmers groups, what sort of a response do you get?
It's a mixed one. If you read the room, there's people who are focused but quiet. There are people who are agreeing with you vocally, which I sometimes take as that they've been along that journey or they've started to realise. Because with mental health, it can be that you fall into a funk and you just think it's tiredness or you think you're run down or you're not feeling that great. But it can be a slippery slope to a quite a big crash or a big fall. So when I talk to these groups, I've got to be probably mindful that some of these people might not be in a great headspace. Some of them might have been at the other side of it, and some of them, they've got the tools in place or the people surrounding them to help them through anything that might come their way. So I always say there's no question off the table when I speak, because I think the questions that need to be asked are the ones that are sometimes people are not brave enough to ask. I sought counselling. I sought my doctor's help first, and they got me on some medication, which didn't agree with me at first, so we changed. And the way of counsellors, I've been through a couple, and the first one was good, but couldn't really relate to the farming and the rural background that I had. When I got to a second counsellor who had a rural background, who had grown up on a farm, I could portray what was going on farm and the stresses I was feeling. So I think seeking help, that's the biggest step you have to take, is being brave enough and vulnerable to ask for help.
When you're a farmer, there's a lot you can't control, like the weather.
Yeah, so Mother Nature is a cruel mistress some days. You've got to focus on the controls that you can pull the levers on. So our effluent pond is empty at the moment. The pump's regularly serviced, and the effluent spreader's always serviced and positioned in a way that if it did rain or if we had to use it, it wasn't going to cause any negative effects to the environment or the waterways around it. Ticking off those things can be one less thing you have to worry about at night, and that could be the one thing that would usually keep you awake, but it's actually giving you restful sleep. So it's even as much as, you know, shutting all the gates up on the way out in the farm at night. So just in case that little trigger in your mind goes, well, did I shut this gate? Well, all the rest are backed up.
When you were at your lowest, how were you behaving? How did it impact on you?
Productivity was very low. I was getting up in the morning and I was already feeling that I'd done a day's work. I was physically tired, very lethargic, and there was no planning in place. It was just, I knew I had to get through the workload by the end of the day and there was no plan. So I was probably doing things 2 or 3 times, going in roundabout ways to get to a final destination instead of planning and taking a direct route. Going to do farm jobs where I'd have to come back 2 or 3 times to collect the tools or the equipment I needed to do it. Disconnected from family and friends. Not really communicating properly with people around me, so just yes, no answers. The eating thing was more just, oh, I'll grab something when I need it. And also seeing the glass half empty all the time instead of seeing the glass half full was always a big thing. I still do it now, and it's still probably one of the big things I still can't get on top of, is when things are really good, looking at the negative side of things when things aren't good. So when you're at the bottom of the hill, it's easy to look up and think, well, I've got to work my way towards it. But when you're at the top, you think the only way is down. Like, we've just bought our first farm, which is overwhelming, and it's amazing to to see what we started to achieve. But yeah, it's still in the back of your mind, well, what it could be taken away, what was something to happen. But I'm starting to smile when I turn up to our own farm, and yeah, it's starting to sink in slowly.
So the things you do are you eat well, you give back.
Yep.
You make lists.
Yes.
What else do you do?
Get off farm. Part of the thing of mental well-being is sometimes when you're a farmer, you seem locked in by the boundary fence. You can sometimes, the boundary fence is like a 10-foot high wall. So getting out that gate and taking a fresh perspective on what other people are doing or on another activity that's not milking cows and monitoring pasture can sometimes just relax the brain enough to get refocused. And also, like I say, having your own mentors. It doesn't matter how far you're up the tree, whether you're the chairman of Fonterra or whether you're a farm assistant in your first year, you need to have a mentor. You need to have someone to lean on to ask questions and to defrag and pick their brains. Like I say, I've felt the loss of a mate taking their own life, and if I have to be brutally honest about my journey and it helps one more person, if I've reached out to one person, it's been all worth it.
Sam Owen. He says goal setting is a good tool, but farmers shouldn't be put off if their journey towards the goal has a few twists and turns. He says there's a lot to be learnt along the way. He also sought to be around people making a positive difference and joined the Dairy Environment Leaders program. We'll put a few contacts for organisations that can offer support on our webpage.